Flames Insider, Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
A little bit of a break in the Flames schedule. Obviously, part of that was unscheduled, but they're back in action Saturday for round 8 of this year's Battle of Alberta. Until that time, some good practice days off yesterday, back at practice today, tomorrow, and on Friday. Let's say hello to Peter Loubardias, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, alongside Pat Steinberg and Will Nault on the big show today. And Lou, we talked a little bit last segment about some new look lines for the Flames. They've put Johnny Gaudreau on a line with Elias Lindholm and Matthew Tkachuk, at least at practice today. Sean Monahan was centering Dylan Dubé and Andrew Mangiapane. Also, some juggles to the D pairings. Chris Tanev wasn't skating. Just a reaction to anything that might have jumped out at you in terms of some new look combinations.
Patty, I don't know if there's anything that completely jumped out at me because we had a sneak peek in the last game against Toronto. You're at a point, and we addressed it yesterday, where a couple of things. You're looking for answers. You're looking for some combinations to potentially give you a spark. And why not, in some regards, not try a little bit something different, something new? You know, you're looking for a spark more than anything, and we're at a point in time where I don't think it hurts anybody to experiment. And the other thing I would add, if you're gonna experiment, pretty good opportunity if you have 2 or 3 days of practice in order to get some feel for your groups. So I think that's probably the biggest thing for me. If you're gonna do something a little bit different, this gives you 2 or 3 days to start working on it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, you know, we talked about it a bit yesterday, as Lou says, you know, are you going to go down this path? Are you going to experiment? Well, this to me, Pat, tells me that they are indeed going to go down this road, at least for Saturday's game, because you're right. You're probably not going to have a lot of practice time from now to the end of the season. Well, you won't, especially with the Vancouver situation being what it is. We don't know if at any point they're going to get back on the ice. But if they do, your schedule gets even more jammed. Mm-hmm. So take this time to kind of really let these lines get used to each other a little bit, and more than just one period from the other night. And so that's kind of my biggest takeaway, Pat, more than anything, is that, okay, it looks like for now anyways, we'll see what tomorrow looks like on the ice. But it appears Daryl Sutter is going to try and give this a little bit of a go, at least for Saturday.
So guys, And this is very much said, knowing that I'm not a coach. None of us are coaches. Hindsight is 20/20. But there have been a lot of people on social media, on our text line, clamoring for change over the last couple of weeks. And now here they come when, I mean, it's pretty clear. The chances are done. They're not going. It's virtually impossible for them to make the playoffs. So should this have been done earlier? And I know it's a hindsight conversation, Lou, but I only ask it because it has been a huge topic on social media and on our text line for the last number of weeks. And, you know, why not try something different when they were a little bit closer to still being alive?
You know what my reaction is going to be, Pat. I probably don't even have to give it, but I will give it. And I don't want to upset anybody, but I'm not a big believer in looking back. I don't see any great point in it. You know, it's what I give terminology is some low hanging fruit. And that's not to say that, you know, we all have questions and I have questions and both of you have questions, but it's always for me after the fact stuff. It's non-productive. Now, you know, the way we started our conversation today and even what we got into yesterday, that to me is more productive, because if your chances of making the playoffs leave you 16, 17 games now to experiment and to answer some questions about your future going forward, then take a look. Experiment a little bit, see if you can build some chemistry. And more than anything, you know, this group could use some positivity and a couple of wins to feel good about. So you know, I'm all for you guys coming back with, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful of the text line or our listeners. I get it. I mean, we all play these games. We all do. But let me ask you guys, does it matter at this point?
Well, that's just it for me, Lou. And there's no guarantees it would have really made much of a difference. That's the other part for me. You have no evidence to suggest that that was the correct move or the right move. So unless they win the next 10 games, Pat, I don't know.
Yeah, but guys, if we don't ever have hindsight conversations, like if we, then what are we doing, right? Like we have to, we can't predict the future.
Why?
So
why can't?
So we should just never talk. We should never, like, learning from mistakes and all that type. We should never have hindsight conversations.
But how do you know it's a mistake, Pat?
Well, I don't know it's I know they. I know they're not making the playoffs, and I know that they the Gaudreau and Monahan haven't worked all season. And this isn't even a Daryl Sutter conversation. This is going back to when Jeff was still the head coach. I just it seemed like a conversation we've been having for a long time. So I guess my question is, it's less about criticizing the decisions in the past. It's more just like, is the reason they're doing it now because they're done, because they're out of it, and because they can try some things? Is that why now would be the time?
No, what it's really about is if you thought, regardless of the regime before now, that that was the best way to go and that that's what you believed in, you probably would have gone in that direction. So I'm not trying to, you know, be hard to deal with today, but, you know, call me crazy. I'm just not a big believer in spending a lot of time visiting things that you can't change. And I am all open 100% to any conversation about where this team is going forward. Because, Pat, in all sincerity, and you know this as well as anybody, and so does Will, you know, it's easy right now to take a look back and look at this team and look at lots of guys. But we didn't know what we've come to learn, and it doesn't matter. So the important thing for the team, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's Saturday, whether it's in the future, I mean, what more can you do but take the body of work, the intel that you have, and see what you're going to do with it in the future? So respectfully, no, I don't really see a whole lot of point of having long-term look back hindsight conversations. I don't.
I guess the problem for me is, like, it's kind of too late now. Like, if this works, great, but yeah, it's almost like it doesn't.
But isn't that the point?
Well, I don't know. Like, the point is, like, this is a failure of a season. They're missing the playoffs by a massive gap when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the question that I'm trying to ask is, was there a time? Look, we don't know if this is going to work, and it might be moot, but was there a time to do this earlier is the question I'm asking. And I respect that you guys don't want to go there, and that's fine, but I think it's a fair question to ask.
Well,
for me, I don't think that's an unfair question, Pat. I just, for me, if there's no guarantee it would have worked, and you know, there's been a lot of people that says there's no way you could have separated Gaudreau and Monahan. And I just think it's convenient to say, well, they should have done it earlier now, right? So that's where I have issue with it. But yeah, for me, the what if part of it is absolutely, you know, up for grabs and up on the table, because yeah, they are out of it. It's been a failure of the season. And you might look and say it could have changed things had you made a move. But again, I would counter and say a lot of people were also clamoring that there was no way you could separate Monahan and Gaudreau. That's blasphemy to even consider it. So you have to talk in kind of two sides there, if that makes any sense.
Well, and the, guys, the reason I'm bringing it up, I'm more playing devil's advocate than anything else, because Lou, I think you're right. I mean, it's done. It didn't happen. Here we are now. I guess I'm playing devil's advocate on it because it hasn't worked for quite a while. These two guys, like, we're going back to last season where these guys have not been a dynamic 5-on-5 duo. They have not been they have not been guys that would go out and win their matchups at even strength on a regular basis. So I guess what I'm trying to do is take a larger look at the entire conversation, and you know, and wondering if maybe those two have been overvalued together
for a long time.
I think something happened to Pete's connection. Yeah. We started hearing you on delay there, Patrick.
I'm also hearing me. I think we've lost Lou. You know what I'm saying though? Like I'm not, sorry. You know what I'm saying, Will? I'm not trying to be difficult when I have these conversations. I'm just like, I do think we're talking about the overall body of work. And if we believe that Monahan is gone or Gaudreau is gone this off season or both, I wonder if this is something that maybe irrespective of who the head coach was, maybe we should have been having these conversations far earlier. And I'm guilty of it too. Going into the season, I didn't think they should do this. I just wonder if maybe we should have been having these conversations earlier than we did, if that makes any sense.
About Monahan and Gaudreau, Pat, and maybe if you are, I apologize for taking this in a different direction, but wouldn't, just to push back and play devil's advocate on the other side, weren't a lot of people's biggest criticism of Jeff Ward was too many changes and too many things were different from a game-to-game basis? So you can't have your cake, you need it too, right?
Fair. I'm not suggesting that you do, like, I'm suggesting doing that long term, like going back the 1920s.
But I'm just saying, there was a lot of criticism early on the season that lines were constantly changing because it wasn't working. And how are you ever going to get it to work if you don't leave it the same? Well, you can't have it both ways.
And I think there's a balance that you can strike. I think we have Lou back. Lou, you with us? Is Lou back?
No,
he's not. Let's just give him a call on the phone, Logo. Let's do that because this is clearly not working with the other thing that we're trying to do. Peter Labardius is with us in spirit right now. Will soon be with us in just a second. We'll just give him a call and continue the hit that way. Here is what we're talking about. The Flames have juggled up their lines a little bit at practice today. They put Sean Monahan between Andrew Mangiapane and Dylan Dubé. They put Johnny Gaudreau with Elias Lindholm and Matthew Tkachuk. We kind of saw a preview of that in the third period on Monday in that 5-3 loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I wanna get Lou in on this part of it, Lou. And Lou, I just want to check that we do have you back. Can you hear us? We're good.
Yeah, we were on Opal, and all of a sudden I just completely dropped out, which, you know, it's kind of my week. So I'm back, at least for a few seconds.
Fingers crossed and hope that it continues.
Yes.
And as I was saying before you dropped, it was more a devil's advocate conversation about maybe just us as a whole, everybody, when it comes to the Flames, overvaluing those two as a duo for the last couple of years. And, you know, if these guys are not going to be a part of this team for next season, which we don't know, but I wonder if we look back when it's all said and done and say maybe we should have tried this earlier, irrespective of who the head coach is. But on, I want to ask you this, because that was me being the devil's advocate on the conversation. I want to ask you this. Daryl Sutter made mention today of Johnny Gaudreau and not
That's
adjusting.
Right where I was going
to
go.
Yeah, not adjusting and needing to adjust his game 5-on-5. If that's where you're going to go, where do you want to go with it, my friend?
Well, I mean, I was just going to make reference to that comment that I heard today in the availability about, you know, your ability to adjust 5-on-5 and, you know, reading through the lines, and maybe I'm not reading the head coach the right way, but, you know, talked about fighting for more ice, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talked about, you know, being more engaged, getting your stick, you know, in certain places, getting to tough areas, whether it's with the puck or without the puck, so you can be more dangerous. It's not a one person situation for absolute sure. But it's just, you know, we can have this conversation, and we probably will, I guess, day in and day out. But, you know, until you see something different, you haven't seen something different.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've said for a long time, and I stand by it. You know, they've been a pair for a long time. I still think, and I know that, you know, it's not always the most popular sentiment, because I get the feeling from outside looking in that people kind of put it on Sean, then they put it on Johnny. And I'm not saying that the blame is not shared. It's always shared. And it's not just on them. You know, it takes five people in your group on the ice at any one time. But when the head coach comes out today and talks about, you know, engagement and doing things different and battling for ice, you know, life, forget about hockey, it's all about making adjustments. And can you make adjustments when things that you used to do well that work for you aren't working as well? Isn't that the great separator? I mean, take a look at a guy like Patrick Kane. You know, the great players, like, they never stop.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby never, you know, Sidney Crosby went through stretches. And again, I'm not trying, you know, one guy might be the best American player to ever play. The other guy is a generational talent. So, you know, I'm not trying to make that kind of a comparison. But what I do think is fair, regardless of who you are, is when you're stuck, can you make adjustments? Can you do different? Yeah. Are you prepared? Are you fighting through? And, you know, I'm like to be overly critical. I don't, because I know how difficult it is in life when you've had great success doing things the same way, and then it seems like you can't get there anymore. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is there hasn't been much success.
Yeah. Well, and here's the final place that we'll go today with you, Lou. Peter Labardius is with us, Calgary Flames color voice, the big show with Will Nault, Pat Steinberg. Will, my question earlier was, the way I framed the last segment and what we talked about, I basically said, whenever we talk about the Flames going in a different direction or hitting a reset button and maybe building a little bit more long-term, we say, Daryl Sutter's not here for a rebuild. That continues to be the refrain. Oh, well, he's not here for a rebuild. And Will, basically what I said is, how do we know that? He's never said anything that would suggest that, well, there's no way he would do that. And your read was what when it comes to him saying he's here to win a Stanley Cup?
Well, I mean, the first two words out of his mouth, I believe, at the press conference were unfinished business. He's talked about winning a Stanley Cup. I picked two places, Chicago and Calgary, and he wants to win these owners a Stanley Cup. And to me, knowing Daryl's age, knowing that he's got a farm that he loves to look after just a few hours away from here, I don't see this as a guy who's willing to be here for 4 or 5 years through a rebuild. So my read on it is that, okay, yeah, I can't automatically say he is not here because he's never said those words, but everything he has said leads me to believe the opposite, that he is not here to play a bunch of young kids and watch this team build through the draft and get better that way. He is here to compete, to win now, and we've seen that with roster decisions already made this year, i.e. Michael Stone over a guy like Valimaki. So it leads me to believe that there is no interest from Daryl Sutter to be here for 4 or 5.
Well, and Lou, Will might be right. And that, look, I've made the same assumption many times, and I just have been thinking about it this week. It actually came from a couple of conversations I've had on overtime, and I've kind of thought to myself, well, we don't know that. Yes, he says unfinished business, and yes, he says he's here to win a Stanley Cup, but it's not like he put a timeline on that, and it needs to be by the time. So I guess I just bring it up because, you know, maybe he is here for, maybe he would be willing to go a little bit bigger picture and a little bit more long game. And if they were willing to take a step back a little bit, we all think extremely highly of this man as the head coach, and so would he not be a really good fit to go down that road and maybe start to truly instill a culture for the long term?
Well, here's one thing that I would add, and I think it's really important. So, and he's made, I believe, some mention of it if you want to read through the lines, and that is, until you kind of find yourself, and I think he used this term the other day, in the guts of the game, you don't know your group to the same extent. Like, if you were to ask him about this group now, as opposed to when he was at home on the farm and assessing and having great conversations with Brad and ownership about coming back, I bet you some of those conversations now would be different.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to be different. And we don't know. And Pat, the one thing that I would say is I don't know. And I don't know what the future is going to bring. But the impetus for me has never changed. And that is, I've always felt for about the last year and a bit that this team was trying to build, in a sense, a new core underneath the core. And I get what Will says, too. Listen, that's what we chatted about yesterday. People see players different. They do. And so that's all part of the process. So my guess is if you sat Darryl down and had a conversation and he was frank with you, my guess is he feels different about certain players and certain individuals
right.
than he might have before he stepped behind the bench and had daily, you know, viewings, daily conversations, you know, watching them go through games. I mean, that's the learning. What we don't know is where it goes next. And then what we also don't know is you get to the end of the season, you see how you handle everything as an organization, you see who you go forward with, and then you've got an off season to get yourself ready for the fall. Well, here's what we also know. This season's been miserable. Mm-hmm. There will be different expectation to begin with, probably, for this group next year, which in some ways might actually set them up better. Mm-hmm. And I still don't think they're a million pieces away. I don't.
Will, you got anything as a last word?
No, I don't really have things as a last word. The only thing I would say is that I just think that there's such a tough spot because, and this is not to be disrespectful to any of the young guns they currently have, but it's hard for me to be convinced of a core under a core or building on that core if you don't have those guys that are maybe those high-end pieces. Like Dylan Dubé and Mangiapane are great hockey players, but they're not franchise changers. The same, I think, has been proven. And yes, it's been young. He's had a lot of injuries. I get that. But I would say for a lot of people, Valimaki has been a bit of a flop in terms of not living. And maybe that's on us for having the expectations and the bar so high. It's probably unfair to the kid. And I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be just fine. He's going to be a top four defenseman for the next 12, 14 years in this league. No problem. But again, it's just they're in such a tough spot because they haven't really had those high-end pieces, and they don't fall out of trees. I get that. But, you know, I think you'd run the risk of staying in the middle and staying what this organization has for the last 20 years if you go down that road. And maybe that's just me, and maybe I'm on an island, but that's how I look at this group. And as Lou says, everybody evaluates players different. Yeah. So that's my opinion,
Will,
and it could be different.
Well, I don't think you're on an island, and I don't even think you and I are much different. It's so hard to get elite level people. And in certain areas on this team, you do have elite level people. And I also think that, you know, when you're talking about Valimaki or Dubé and their potential growth, you know, and some of the players who have just had a miserable, miserable time, again, what's the ceiling? And if you have more people in the right roles and you really kind of find the identity of your team, that's probably my last comment is that, you know, we talked about it yesterday. Do we know what the identity is? It's hard to have an identity when you're changing a lot. Mm-hmm. So, but if you give this coach an off season, and as a management group, you're completely together on where you want to go next and what you want to do, I think it can be better. Well, I know it can be better because, frankly, it can't be much worse.
Yeah. Let's pick up on this conversation tomorrow because I don't think that we're necessarily, I don't think anybody's on islands. I think that we're all on the mainland. So let's pick up the conversation tomorrow because I like it. It's a really important one to be having, big picture, when it comes to this team. For now, Lou, we will say it again. Be well, my friend, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, my man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, back to bed. Bye, guys.
Flames Insider, Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.